Hello, my name's Dr. Sandra Gabeau, and I'm joined today by Margaret Jasinska, who is a leading naturopath and author, and we're talking to you about fasting. So that is when you don't eat anything except water. Doesn't sound like much fun, but we're not advocating that you do it for too long. So you're going to learn today about the mysteries of fasting. We're going to dispel the myths and we're going to teach you about the benefits. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Dr. Gabeau. Thank you for inviting me to talk about this interesting topic.
It is. Fasting has become very trendy today, and there's a lot about it on the internet, and it's also very controversial.
That's right, exactly. It can be confusing, and it's not always appropriate for some people to fast. But for the average person, it's quite beneficial and safe.
Yes, and you know, fasting means that you don't eat anything except water, and it can last from 12 to 48 hours. Not many people can last longer than 48 hours. And then you can go on to a lower carbohydrate diet that we call a ketogenic diet. But let's look at the physiology in your body. What happens to your body during a fast? Well, first of all, once the sugar has been used up by your cells and there's no longer any sugar available to your cells, you have to burn fat. Your body must burn fat. Otherwise, you won't survive. Now, as the fat is broken up or metabolized, it is turned into triglycerides, and that is sent to the liver, and the liver turns that into ketones. So the liver turns the triglyceride fat into ketones, and ketones are small molecules that can be used by your cells for energy instead of sugar. These ketones are sent out into your bloodstream by the liver, and they circulate around your whole body in your bloodstream, and they can be used by all the cells in your body, including your brain cells. So the ketones get inside your cells and are used to produce energy. So you can survive on these ketones for a long time. Obviously, if you're very overweight, you'll survive longer than someone who is underweight. Now, what is the benefits of using ketones for energy instead of sugar? Well, number one, you will lose weight, won't you, Margaret?
Yes, absolutely, that's right. You'll be forced to dig deep and use your fat stores for energy. Also, ketones are a cleaner burning fuel, so there's actually less free radical production and oxidative damage. There's basically less wear and tear to your body involved in burning up ketones for energy compared to burning up glucose for energy.
So there'll be less inflammation in your body.
Exactly, that's right. And inflammation is really the root cause and aggravator of just about any health condition.
Yes. In my new book on surviving cancer, it's called A Survival Strategy for Cancer, I talk about fasting, I talk about the ketogenic diet. And one thing that I discuss in the book, which I found fascinating, is that just by simple calorie restriction, and indeed particularly the restriction of carbohydrate, which is basically sugar, your cells will start a self-cleaning and self-repairing process. And this is called autophagy. Funny name, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So auto meaning self.
Yes.
And phagy meaning eat.
Yes. So in other words, you start to eat yourself. So your cells start to literally eat up the damaged structures inside of them. So if there's damaged proteins or damaged cell membranes or damaged mitochondria, the cell will start to break that down. and it will send it to the lysosomes, which are these kind of garbage disposal organs inside each cell. The lysosomes will break it all down and eliminate it. So it's a self-cleaning process inside your cells. So by simple calorie restriction, and particularly fasting, this will stimulate the process of autophagy.
That's right, and your body is wise. It will choose the damaged and non-functional cells and tissues and break them down via autophagy.
Yes.
So that you're not harming your healthy tissues.
Yes, it doesn't happen in healthy tissue. It's only happening in old, junky, worn-out tissue. So it's a bit like having a rejuvenation. Well, like an old car, you know, that goes for a service and you remove the old worn out parts and replace it with new parts and it goes just like a new car.
Yes, exactly. And also just not fasting gives your when you are fasting, you give your digestive system a rest and a break from having to digest food, because digesting food is hard work for the human body.
Yes.
It takes up a lot of energy.
Mm.
And in someone who has digestive problems, whether it's reflux or irritable bowel or indigestion, bloating, conditions like that, then digesting food is even harder work for those people. And some research has shown that fasting for one or a couple of days will actually reduce levels of bad gut bugs and promote the growth of good, beneficial gut bugs.
Now, if you get tired on a fast and you start to get headaches and, you know, maybe you're sweating and you're feeling just generally unwell, you need to drink more water and you need to take magnesium. That will really help to reduce side effects. And add some salt to your water, some sea salt, and you'll find that you won't be nearly as tired.
That's right. That can give you an energy boost really quickly.
Yes. So a bit of salt in the water and magnesium powder, such as magnesium ultra potent. It's very good. And keep up the water, but don't eat anything. And even if it's just a 12-hour fast, so for example, you don't eat from 8 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning, well, that's beneficial. I mean, it's hardly really a fast, but even more beneficial would be, say, from 8 o'clock at night until lunchtime the next day. And you will achieve worthwhile cleansing effects or detoxing effects in your cells, this process known as autophagy. And, you know, a lot of people eat too often. They think, oh, I'm tired, I'll have a snack. When actually you need the opposite, you just need a drink of water or a cup of coffee with coconut oil in it. And explain that to us, Margaret, how, you know, during a fast, a cup of coffee with added coconut oil will not affect the efficiency of the fasting process.
That's right. You'll still technically be fasting if you just have a coffee with some coconut oil, because the coffee and the coconut oil won't raise your blood insulin level. And so one of the main purposes of fasting is to get your blood insulin level down, because there are many benefits associated with that. You'll burn more fat, you'll reduce inflammation. And so the fat from the coconut oil, you can use those fats to give you some energy, but it won't raise your insulin, so you won't impair the benefits of your fast.
Yes, so you can impress your friends if you're on a fast. They might say, well, why are you doing a fast? You can say, I'm stimulating my autophagy. Or autophagy, however you want to say it. It's a Greek word. It's hard to speak Greek. I don't do it. But, autophagy or autophagy is the breakdown of all the old junky, damaged parts inside your cells and replacing them with new parts. It's a form of anti-aging and definitely a form of reducing your risk of cancer. So you can impress your friends and go, autophagy? Oh, that sounds good. And you say, yes, well, I'm going to look much younger tomorrow after my 48-hour fast or whatever you do. You may only want to do 24 hours. Even 12 hours is beneficial. So what's the difference between autophagy and apoptosis? That's a big word, apoptosis. Apoptosis is actually cell suicide. That's when a cell decides it's so sick, it's so diseased, so damaged that it will commit suicide. It will self-destruct. Now, this is very, very good if it's a cancer cell. And we're all forming cancer cells inside of us every day. And if we have a healthy liver and immune system, we will detect and destroy those cancer cells. But once the cancer gets a hold and it starts to form a tumor and develop its own blood supply, then we have a lot more trouble in destroying that cancer. So the process of apoptosis, in other words, encouraging that cancer to self-destruct, is encouraged by fasting. So the intermittent fasting that people often do, they may do 2 days a week or 2 days a month, whatever, is beneficial in encouraging the suicide of cancer cells. The worst thing to eat if you have cancer is sugar. And this is because cancer cells need 30 times more sugar than a healthy cell to produce energy. Cancer cells cannot use ketones for energy. So if you're fasting or you're on a very, very low carbohydrate diet, there will be no sugar in your body. There will only be ketones, and your cancer cells will not be able to use ketones to produce energy, so they will self-destruct. They will die.
Absolutely. So in anyone who has cancer, it can significantly improve their chances of survival by adopting a ketogenic diet,
yes,
or fasting,
yes,
ideally under the supervision of your own doctor. And if a person has blood sugar problems, if they're a diabetic, then they may need to fast under the supervision of their doctor.
Yes. So a fast is really extreme, but it's safe if you're under the supervision of a naturopath or doctor or dietitian. Mind you, not everybody believes in fasting, but if you look at the research, it's very scientific. And there's a lot of evidence to show that it can help to fight cancer and indeed a lot of chronic inflammatory diseases. But there's a difference between fasting and the ketogenic diet. In fasting, you're not eating anything. In a ketogenic diet, also known as a keto diet, you are having very, very low amounts of carbohydrate. Indeed, for some people, they need to eat less than 20 grams of carbohydrate a day to get into the metabolic state of ketosis, which is where you are burning your fat, producing ketones, and your cells are using ketones for energy. So it's a very, very low carbohydrate diet where you're eating a lot of fat. Give us an example, Margaret, of what you would eat for breakfast, lunch and dinner on a ketogenic diet.
Well, each meal would need to contain some kind of protein and fat. So breakfast, for example, might be 2 eggs, cooked however you like, maybe scrambled, maybe make an omelet. You could cook the eggs in natural fat such as olive oil or coconut oil or ghee or fat from pastured animals. You might have some very low carbohydrate vegetables such as a bit of spinach, a bit of parsley in there, a bit of avocado. So that would be breakfast. Lunch could be something like perhaps fish and vegetables, maybe salmon with some cooked broccoli, cauliflower, other green leafy vegetables. And dinner might be something like beef or lamb, either with a salad or with cooked vegetables, focusing mostly on the vegetables that really don't have starch in them. Something like celery, radishes, mushrooms, cucumbers, those vegetables that are watery, they've got fiber in them, they've got vitamins and minerals, so they're going to help fill you up because they do contain fiber and water. And if you choose your vegetables wisely, you can still eat quite a lot of them and stick below 20 grams of carbohydrate per day. So you can have 3 pretty satisfying big meals.
Yes, and if you have too much protein, that can stop ketosis too. You need more fat.
That's right, exactly. If you overeat protein, then your liver can actually trick you and can convert that into glucose, and so then you won't really be in a ketogenic diet anymore.
Now, you'll know when you're in ketosis because you'll be able to measure the ketones in your urine. You can buy keto sticks from your local pharmacy and you can urinate on the sticks and they can indicate whether you are producing ketones. If you're not, you have to further reduce the carbohydrate you're eating until you do get the ketones. Now, being in ketosis is quite safe unless you're a type 1 diabetic or you're in kidney failure or if you have an infection or some other problem, but always check with your doctor or naturopath. Now, even if you don't reduce your carbohydrate enough to go into ketosis, you can still benefit by reducing the amount of carbohydrate you're eating every day.
Absolutely, because if you are in a low carbohydrate diet, it means you're not eating sugar. And so sugar, as well as grains, cereals, starches, those foods that are rapidly digested into sugar, can generally increase inflammation in your body. They can cause you to develop a fatty liver. They can cause digestive issues. So not eating those foods has a range of health benefits.
That's right. And so just understanding how fat is healthy for us, you know, that it's not going to put weight on as easily as sugar. A lot of people don't realize that.
That's right. And when I ask my patients to eat more fat, it's in the context of a low carbohydrate diet. So if you're having a meal with some salmon and vegetables that were cooked in butter, that meal is conducive to weight loss and making sure your blood fats, your blood sugar aren't elevated. But if we think, oh, butter is good for me, and if you have butter with flour and sugar, well, that's what pastry is. And we all agree that if we combine sugar with the fat, then we can end up with health problems. But we're talking about eating fat in the context of a diet that contains protein, green vegetables, and minimal carbohydrate.
That's right. So people who would benefit from a ketogenic diet are people who are overweight and cannot lose weight any other way. People with a fatty liver, although it's not something they would use forever, but they could use it for the first stages of their weight loss until they get down into a healthy weight range and then start to bring in fruit and more starchy vegetables. But they should always avoid the sugar. Remember, if you eat a lot of sugar, you're greatly increasing your risk of cancer, whether you've never had cancer or whether you are a cancer sufferer and you're trying to avoid a recurrence of the cancer. A cancer cell needs 30 times more sugar than a healthy cell. A healthy cell can be very healthy and function efficiently, producing plenty of energy from ketones, which are produced in your body when you eat fat, protein, and green vegetables.
Yeah.
So we hope you've understood a bit more about the benefits of fasting and also a low carbohydrate diet. And for more information, you can see my new book called A Survival Strategy for Cancer. So have a great day and thanks for listening. Bye, Margaret.
Thank you. Bye-bye.